The playoffs are just around the corner, and it is time to oil up. Nation Gear is ready to gear you up for Edmonton's upcoming playoff run. Rep your favorite team as they battle for the cup this spring and shop the exclusive Oil Up playoff merch and more at nationgear.ca.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
To Oilers Nation Radio, a member of the Nation Network.
Why'd you stop it?
Because you were shaking your head at me.
Fire the intro.
You're listening to Oilers Nation Radio, a member of the Nation Network of podcasts and delivered by DoorDash. 1 hour of straight hockey talk with Dan, Rick, Tyler, and Bag Milk starts now.
Oilers Nation Radio, episode 6,291. Bag Milk here. Liam, Tyler, Rick.
Episode 241.
Dan on the Zoom.
It's 242.
No, we're not doing this again.
Sure, we debated if it was 240 or 241, and I was wrong at 240, and you said it was 241.
I remember the debate.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't very delicious, though.
I also remember Bag Milk coming down with us in the 6,000s.
Yeah.
And you didn't even catch that either.
242.
No, Tyler was looking at like rainbows and
242.
Unicorns and shit.
242.
Oh, yep. We're good. We're good.
Liam is correct. Tyler? Apologize.
Sorry, Liam.
Well, he didn't apologize last week to me.
As we do every week on the podcast, we are going to start this off with a delicious debate for our friends at Oodle Noodle and DoorDash. New location opening in Calgary very, very soon for our friends at Oodle Noodle. Dan, Tyler, and I actually saw it. We stood outside. It is going to be wonderful for all of you in Calgary. It's going to be opening real soon. Also, the Clairview location, if you're here in Edmonton, has reopened. They are ready to walk. Liam, see what I did there? W-O-K. Tyler, what do you got for us for today for the delicious debate?
As we get closer, Frank Saravalli has his trade targets out. DailyFaceoff.com. If you love trade rumors and trade talk, this is like your Bible for the year. He's got it all in there. He's got 20 names on that list, players who could be moved. What's the biggest need for the Edmonton Oilers as we start to slowly creep into trade season?
I like that you changed the delicious debate from what you told me it was going to be.
I did. I didn't like the idea of piling on one player. So I wanted to go this way and we'll get into the other stuff later.
I had a whole thing that I was going to talk about. I will save it for later.
We'll get it.
All right. The biggest need is we are now 20 games in, basically. Tomorrow against the Islanders will be the 20th game of the season. Liam, biggest need for the Edmonton Oilers right now as you see it.
They got to find the next Brett Kulak. I think when the Oilers brought in Kulak last year, it really helped change the dynamic of this team and kind of put everyone in the right position. And obviously with Duncan Keith being gone, it now you need that next guy. And I think that's where you got to go find. What's the guy from Columbus called? Gavrikov?
Vladislav Gavrikov.
Sounds like he could be a decent option for this team.
But he's young and he's never played meaningful hockey. Well, I don't hate the idea of it either, but like he's like 26.
27.
Okay, maybe.
Erik Karlsson. Someone brought that up today on the chat, and we spoke about it on Oilers Nation every day. That would be awesome. That would be a lot of fun, but man, that would be extremely... You would have to make it a three-team trade somehow.
Yeah, he'd have to get down to like...
Yeah, but like,
but how would you do that?
You can't get it. You can't. Like, if you're going to add a third team to take 4 years of Karlsson money, you're giving up a first round pick just for that.
Yeah.
Would you?
No, he's not worth it.
I wouldn't either.
And I know people might hear me say he's not worth it and be like,
what if it's a first round in 2 years from now?
Yeah, because that seems to be the going rate these days. You're just chucking them down the road.
I don't do it. Erik Karlsson's injury prone. He's 32, and you're going to have to give up a lot to get him. Okay, let's frame it this way. To get Karlsson.
Great hair, though.
Great hair. Plays with Snusen.
As a guy with a mustache.
Yeah.
You can probably appreciate his mustache as well.
Mm-hmm. You know what, Rick?
You got to zoom that thing in.
The thing with Karlsson, okay, so if you're going to do it and you get a third team in on this, you're going to have to attach a first round pick at some point to get some team to take like $3 million this guy's deal, at least. You're going to have to give up a pick to San Jose. Probably going to have to give up a prospect as well. Are you not a better team giving up a first round pick for just a good shutdown D-man, which will be the going rate, and then giving up that prospect and another pick for Jonathan Toews?
I guess I'm still surprised that we're talking about a 3C. When the holes on defense are so glaring to me.
That's fair.
I'm kind of torn. I think they're both as important as each other, because if you can have a better forward group who's good defensively,
yeah,
then that helps. It takes a little bit off the defense. Maybe it takes away 2-3 chances a game. And then your defense looks better because of not having to go up against such high danger chances. So I guess they kind of balance each other out a little bit.
Chicken and egg scenario, if you will.
Yeah,
but like
if you want,
somebody mentioned it early in the episode talking about like the replacement level players. And that's my problem, is that every second night we're playing Ryan Murray on this team. And so for me, it's defensive depth. There's all kinds of shenanigans going to be going on behind the cameras as I'm talking. But I don't know. Like I'm with you, Tyler. Bag Milk. I don't understand the concept of looking at our forwards and making any changes outside of Bakersfield options when you've got so many issues on defense, and we still
have that many issues on defense. I think you have one glaring issue on defense.
What is the issue?
You just need that big shutdown type of guy.
Are you trading Evan Bouchard like Jay is?
No, I'm not trading Evan Bouchard, but I do think, I think your move on defense, you have to, if you're looking at one, you're probably going to end up having to move Tyson Berry, which scares me on numerous levels, because I do think he's really good in the room. And I think he's a really good teammate.
Decent dancer.
Yeah. I feel like he's a big part of this team right now. And so you're going to be creating a hole when you move him. And I know a lot of people are going to disagree with this, but I think they're definitely feeling the loss of players like Duncan Keith and Mike Smith and what they brought even on the ice and off the ice.
What are they missing with Mike Smith?
The bravado, if you're a hockey player and you're in the NHL and you're looking at a guy who's played in the Olympics and has a gold medal for Team Canada. Mm-hmm. That means something to you. And
I don't think it does.
Sure it does.
I don't think like Marcus Niemelainen is like, fuck, I'm playing great because I got a guy who won a gold for Canada.
No, but you're listening to him.
He was also
when he's talking, you listen to those guys.
I don't know. And I think maybe like right now in the moment you miss that. But I think as the year goes on, this group will find their own voice and they'll miss Smith less.
And I think that's what they wanted to at the beginning of the year. But there's times when these guys just play so level-headed that someone needs to like throw some caffeine in the water bottles and wake the guys up a bit. And I think those are the type of players that get you going. And we don't really have that. We don't have that energy starter. We don't have, you know, they see all these stupid ass videos of guys lining up in the hallway before they come on the ice. And Brad Marchand's bouncing off half the fucking team. We don't really have anybody like that. Somebody who's going to get the fucking boys going. I think somebody like Mike Smith probably did.
You know, it's funny. The only thing I can think of guys coming through the tunnel is when Bouchard, Fogel, and Yamal bump heads.
Yeah.
And out of those three, I would imagine that they're probably the three quietest guys on the team.
Well, like, so then is that on the leaders of this room? Is Nurse, McDavid, and Draisaitl not vocal enough?
It's not about being vocal, though. I think it's about being just naturally energetic, and I just don't think we have added that element to this team. It's natural, though. You can't fake it.
Norwegian death metal.
Yes, we need Yanni Nienema to get the fucking back on the DJ.
But, like, can't Mike Smith just be, like, around? He's still on payroll.
And you know what I'm saying? Like, we need that type of a fucking player.
Let him yell at the people before the game starts.
So would you go get Ryan Reeves? He's healthy scratch. Could probably be had for a fifth round pick.
$2 million or just a shade under $2 million?
Shade under two. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'd like to have him on the team, but I don't know if we have the fucking space for him. I think at this point right now, at this point in the NHL with flat cap and where we're sitting, we need to be very precise on who we get, because you don't have a lot of room for error, or a lot of room to throw around extra money. You need to... you need to be sure about this and you need to go find the best of the best of the best. And there's not really a lot of options out there.
Tyler, sorry, go ahead, Liam.
I was just going to say, like, throughout the offseason, like, Barry's just a name that gets thrown around because of how much money he makes. But yeah. I think the team needs him.
Yeah.
More than we think you need him. And the lack of the leadership they lost over the summer, like, say what you want about Keith and Smith, like they did mean something to this team. Mm-hmm. And I think removing Barry from the locker room as well is just a recipe for even more disaster.
Well, you definitely have to bring in that big personality, a big type, but same type of person and as
then,
a return.
And then they have to build themselves into the locker room too. It's yeah, just it's like such a long process. And I don't mm-hmm. think the others have that much time to do that. They're better off trying to bring someone in for maybe one of those forwards that makes $3 million than moving a Barry out of the door.
I want to build off something Dan said too, because you talked about getting a D-man and how, you know, the forward group is probably fine. You have to get better defensively is kind of your point, right, Dan?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a team defense in my...
That's where I want to go on this. Are you not maybe better defensively by getting a Jonathan Toews? If every time, or if for 90% of your 5-on-5 minutes, if one of McDavid, Drysdale, or Toews is on the ice, I think you're better defensively down the middle.
I agree, and I think I'm okay with that type of a move because I think he's the... Captain Serious, that dude's yep. not, that dude's gonna get you going. Do you not remember when he was like fucking losing his shit in the fucking penalty box and Seabrook had to come up?
People
like,
always say Seabrook was the real leader of that team and Toews was just the guy who got the C because he was the superstar.
Well, at least you're gonna learn. Like, I think you got to bring something. I mean, I didn't know that much of it. I just remember him going nuts in the penalty box and someone having to calm him down. We don't have that right now.
So the other thing too, and I think this is where I'm getting with this kind of long-winded point, is Dan talks about, okay, you need a defenseman because this blue line's not good enough. Me and you sit here and go, well, the team defense needs to be better. If they don't address both of these, it's a failure by Ken Holland. That's absolutely fair. Need to make more than one addition this year. This cannot be, we can't sit there on March 3rd and fuck, we're so far away. And I get that. But if we're sitting there on March 3rd and Ken Holland goes, Evander Kane's just like a deadline acquisition and we gave up a third round pick for Ali Mata. Come on. Like, we can't do that this year. We need like two impactful trades to push this team towards Stanley Cup contender status. And honestly, a month ago, 2 months ago, I didn't think that'd be the case. I thought they were a D-man away from putting the finishing touches on a great roster. And this first month being 10-9 through 5 weeks, I should say, showing me that they're more than a piece away. And that's unfortunate.
It hasn't been a very favorable schedule either. They have had a decent schedule.
Stanley Cup contenders don't give a shit about their schedule. They just win.
They also don't really give too much care what their record is on November, whatever the hell today is.
22nd.
I'm not overly worried about the record, but I'm like frustrated. But the process has led me to kind of go, this team's not as good as we thought they were.
But at this point in the summer, you were sitting there going, by the playoffs, we're probably going to need to add a 3C and another D, no?
I look at this team right now.
Or that type of a player, yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're just in the same spot. We're just, now it's about time to start addressing it.
I look at this team right now and I don't think any trades are coming.
Probably not.
I think that looking at the lineup, you've got some guys on here that they need to be better.
Yeah.
And until that happens, so this is kind of reminds me of last year when the Oilers went on that disastrous run that was 2-11-2. It's not that bad. We're going 1-win-1-loss, which is obviously frustrating, but when Connor and Leon kind of come back down to earth a little bit, you need other guys that are there chipping in with goals mm-hmm. because it's not realistic to expect them to play 2 points a game all season long as they start off every year.
Unfortunately.
So who are those guys right now? Warren Fogle's playing a little bit better since he got that goal in Tampa. You love to see it,
but he's only playing better when he's on the ice with the Stars.
Well, somebody's contributing.
I know.
I've liked him on the PK too.
Cause like I'm looking at the stats right now, Ryan McLeod, he can't get anything to go right now.
Bad luck.
There's some bad luck there. Yes, Puljujarvi. He can't get anything to go right now. Kaylor Yamamoto, obviously he's hurt. He's been out for a while. He still doesn't have a goal. Dylan Holloway still doesn't have a goal. And again, he's a rookie, but ultimately these are pieces you need to contribute on the offensive side, and having zero from them. And I don't necessarily care what the underlying numbers say. You have to get goals. And the Oilers are not getting enough of them from guys that are not named Connor, Leon, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, and Zach Hyman.
Nuge is having a great year.
Fucking heater.
Can you imagine if Nuge wasn't having a bounce back, how we'd be feeling about this forward group right now?
Well, and there's also the lack of it's not just losing Evander Kane's production. He brings a certain sense of swagger to the lineup that they just cannot replace without him.
And that's some of the thing I was talking about with the Smith and the just that type of bravado you bring to that. It just expels through everybody else.
He's going to bring you into the fight whether you want to or not. He's going to score goals. He's going to mix it up. And God love Kleem Costin. It's just not the same.
You know what? For a bottom six guy, maybe a fourth line guy, I really like the way he's been playing.
All kinds of time for
him. And half just have with work and stuff, but I've actually liked him the way he's doing out there.
I got all kinds of time for Kleem Costin, actually. So I want to hear from you, Owen Radio Podcast. What's the Oilers' biggest need right now? Who hasn't gone? Dan?
He said...
No, I went defense.
So a mix, really.
Do you think you list off all those names that aren't scoring. Do you think that's a bigger issue?
Yeah.
Because if we're winning by so many goals, you'd almost demoralize the other team. But we can't just get out to these leads like we have done in the past because guys outside of the big four, excluding King, because he's not playing, obviously, aren't doing shit.
And then when we came out of...
They're just not.
When we came out of 2-11-2 last year, Derek Ryan, I think, popped a couple right away. And all of a sudden, as soon as, you know, all of a sudden these guys in the bottom six or even bottom nine, if you really want to think about it, started to pop them in. And we're getting like little bits here and there.
Yeah.
They're not consistent enough right now.
Who scored a lot? Who got the goals last night? Dreisaitl?
Nuge.
And Nuge.
Yeah.
And then before that, it was Dreisaitl, Fogel, Hyman. And Hyman.
Yeah. So there's...
So your last five goals, you won bottom six goal. I can't remember what else happened after that, but it's just like... These guys got to do something.
Yep. Right now, there's
no trade value either.
There's no trade value. And they're just essentially the best we can hope for from too many guys on the roster right now is that they don't get caved in. And that's not a great spot to be in.
It's very familiar, though, isn't
my answer.
It feels like home in a sad way, but like, I'm tired of it. You know, like now, as we're recording, November 22nd, the Oilers are in fifth place in the Pacific Division.
Oh, yeah.
That sucks, man.
Here's the other thing, though. Like, again, in the moment right now, this is really frustrating, but Coombsy and I did Oilers Nation every day today, and it was like, man, they fired Dave Tippett in February. Like, we are not even close to that. The Oilers could go on a heater and be leading the Pacific Division by February this year.
Exactly.
And last year, this was a team that took a long time to find their identity. Granted, they needed a coaching change to make it happen, but you're right. Once they made that change, it was like, shit, Ryan started scoring and all this kind of stuff. And this year, you don't have a coaching change. You don't have that bullet in the chamber. I'm not sure if a trade is going to shake this team up, but I also think with the amount of sort of fresh faces in the room and some of the key vocal pieces not being there, maybe this should have been more expected than we thought. Maybe we should have expected more of a learning curve.
Maybe, but I don't know that I could have reasonably expected to be 19 games, 20 games into the season, and Evan Bouchard doesn't have a goal. Kaylor Yamamoto doesn't have a goal. Yes, Puljujärvi has one goal.
Yeah, that's those three names there. That's a big surprise.
You know, I mean, like, I didn't see that coming.
No.
Now, do you honestly think that's going to extend through the rest of the year?
No, I don't.
That's kind of why I'm not terribly upset. Like, I'm frustrated, but I'm not worried or upset. And I don't want to make a snap decision on the trade right now. I do feel like we're playing kind of like that 2-11-2 last year. And outside the first three games of it, I think we're getting smacked around. There were a lot of just bad luck type of things. Like
last night's game. Let's get into last night's game as an example. Again, if you want to chime in on what the Oilers' biggest need is right now, hit us up, Owen Radio Podcast on Twitter and Instagram for our friends at Oodle Noodle and DoorDash for the delicious debate. I want to talk about last night's game though. Oilers, I thought, had their best first period in quite some time. They outshot the New Jersey Devils 10-4. Yeah, there was the goal against and it sucks, but you know, it was what it was. Solid start to the game on the road. Second period, not really the case. Third period, started to get back into it. Nuge got that goal 5 minutes in, wheels fell off. So what do you make of a night like last night? Obviously, you got to tip your hat to the New Jersey Devils. They're on a heater of all heaters right now, 13 straight games. Sometimes what are you going to do? But I also thought the Oilers had a chance to win that game and ultimately blew it.
I think it changed after the Skinner giveaway.
The second goal?
Yeah. And I'm not good.
And then he fell down on that second one too.
Yeah. Like I'm not, and it's weird. I know it's a loss and this is not a moral victory type of thing, but I felt better about the game last night than I have some other losses this year.
Yeah, I think that's fair. It felt like weird, they were in it, but I never felt like they were going to win.
Yeah, and like we were talking about before, I thought, you know, we were probably going to be if we could keep within a goal or keep it tied the rest of the way, then you always have that chance with the type of offense we have. But they got the lead by a goal, then two, pulled it back, then they got the lead again. And I think that kind of not demoralizes, but then it changes your game style too, right? You got to play way too offensive. They took advantage of their chances. We shot ourselves in the foot.
Well, and the Devils, they played a really clean hockey game. Yeah. They made very few mistakes.
Yeah. And when you play good teams like that, like it's really hard for teams to play mistake-free hockey. Sure. The Devils were close, but Hyman had that look right in front of the net where the Devils' coverage fell apart,
mm-hmm.
and Hyman fired it wide.
Oh, man, there was
just a bit out there.
I wanted to backhand it to Nurse. That was perfect for him.
The play where McLeod had a wide open net off a Devils turnover and Hyman stopped it. Okay, there's another one. You had a chance. And then there was the turnover. I forget if it was Fogel or Hyman, whoever it was in front. Also, same thing. Brutal turnover by the Devils. D-man, Vanacek makes the save. And it's like, okay, you got three mistakes from the Devils. They gave them right to you. And you didn't score on any of them. And when the Oilers made mistakes, Nurse, bad pinch, boom, back of the net. Skinner fumbles it, boom, back of the net. Skinner falls down, back of the net. Three mistakes the Devils scored on.
Was the bad pinch the Puljujärvi to Nurse?
And the Tatar's little beep, pop, pop.
That was just like, you know, the puck was really bouncy, and I'm not trying to give any excuses there, but that was just like, you know, the bobbly puck, and we don't win these 50-50 battles right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's very frustrating.
Yeah, that's the other thing too, is like sometimes you just watch this team and it's because they're skilled and they have a very skilled roster, but sometimes they just don't look like they work hard enough.
But it's kind of like they're too even keeled. Like they're always just going in fourth gear or whatever. And then when they hit five, look the fuck out, here they come. But it's just like, sometimes they're like, okay, don't worry. Don't worry. We got this. Don't get too.
What was frustrating about last night too, because on Saturday against Vegas, they fucking worked for 60 minutes and they got the win. It wasn't pretty, but damn it, those 2 points, you love them.
Yeah, they still made mistakes, and like that third goal, they're the tying goal they lead to. It's just, they don't have a complete game yet.
There was a play in the third period, and I almost shouldn't have brought this up because I feel like I've been ragging on the guy a lot recently, and I don't want him because I really like him. But there was a play in that third period yesterday when they were down by two. Ryan McLeod picks it up in the neutral zone to do one of his patented zoom in, squeeze past the D-man, and he scoops it up. And there were two players he would have had to go through right at the blue line. And he got to the red line and he turned back and he like circled back into his own end. And then the Oilers never got the puck into the zone. And it's like, okay, put that deep and go get it.
Respect
and
the blue lines.
And you might get hit. You might have to hit someone. It might not be flashy or a lot of fun, but good teams do that.
Yeah.
I have to give Tyler credit because I've noticed since Tyler mentioned on this very podcast a couple weeks ago that McLeod is the guy that does the flybys more than anybody. And it just kills me now. I see it every time. And he just, the hits where it's, you know, it's not going to be a massive hit. It's just going to let the defenseman know that you were right there. And he just misses those every time. It's killing me, the little things with Ryan McLeod.
See, and this is why I liked watching in the training camp when Kane was roughing up two players. One is Puljujärvi, see him playing up or more physical this year, and two is McLeod. It's kind of a way, like, boys, like this, you know, get in here, like rough shit up.
You're not gonna get hurt. You're gonna get in.
Yeah,
the next.
It's okay. Like, let's get in here and like have some fun with this.
Well, and the thing with like Ryan McLeod too, like no one's expecting him to lay out devastating body checks. It's just getting in the fight a little bit more.
Or Steven's putting your body in front of the other dude so he can't keep skating.
Make separate life difficult because that guy's got so many wheels. He could pop in and out of there like so well.
Yeah.
No, I agree.
I was like, that. I mean, it's like McDavid. McDavid goes around and throws a big hit every once in a while, and it's just purely his speed. It has nothing to do with him outstrengthening anybody.
Yeah, he's 200 pounds into you, but yeah, you'll hit.
200 pounds moving at the speed of a light. Car in a school zone. Yeah, like, that'll hurt.
That's just science.
Anything else from last night's game that stuck out to you? I'm going to defend Stuart Skinner. I like last night, the B-cast, there was a lot of people just, oh, fucking Stuart Skinner. Like there was one guy that the goaltending was not up to par last night. And I think we'd agree with that. He was shitting on Jack Campbell for like 10 minutes until eventually I was like, hey man, you didn't play.
Wow. Could have made one save.
Well, he did make one save.
One save. What are you talking about?
That's a perfect example of the season so far.
Oh yeah.
Oh, we're going to get to Jack Campbell, poor Jack Campbell in a second. But like, what did you make of Skinner's game last night? He's been so good all year. You give him the write-off.
The worst game he's played all year. And it's
Probably.
I'm not being critical. It's just what he was.
Hey, and it's bound to happen.
He's been so good.
Yeah. He's had two games where he's been below average, and they've both been against the Devils, one of the best teams in the league. So
I'm not. Yeah, there's no need to be worried.
Yeah,
like, you made a mistake. How often do you really see him play the puck?
I don't
anyway?
Even mention like, that. I don't even mention. Yeah. It is what it is. It is like, get it over is. It. This isn't a goalie who's out there making stupid ass mistakes. It's just, it's a mistake. Mm-hmm. Guess what? Part yeah, of being a human is being making mistakes.
It's also a rookie.
Yeah,
I didn't. Happen. I didn't get. Oh, I was just gonna say I didn't get to watch the whole game, unfortunately, but. Was that the first time the Devils have been held less than double digit shots in the first period? I feel like it has to be one of the times. Mm-hmm. Like, there was only five shots against in the first period. And that, for the Oilers, I mean, that was a win in my opinion.
Well, that's,
but then.
Yeah, Dan, that's exactly why it was a little bit frustrating to me last night. Cause I thought the Oilers like, man, they came out like, that's the start you need. Yeah. It's a tie game after 20 minutes, but like, man, we got something going here.
Look good.
That's a good road period, yeah. Especially against the New Jersey Devils team like that.
I think if the Oilers bring
they were coming
same,
relentlessly after that.
If they bring that same style of game against the Islanders, take out the mistake from Skinner and maybe like one of the mistakes in front of them, like they'll beat the Islanders tomorrow.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that in a sec. I got to give a shout out to our friends at Tourism Jasper. Tyler, did you know that there are half price lift tickets for only $89 from Marmot Basin?
Interesting. I want to know a little bit more.
The best deal in the Canadian Rockies is back, baby. Save up to 50% on regular price adult, senior, and student youth lift tickets every day, all season. No blackout dates. I repeat, no blackout dates.
Let's go to the Rockies, baby.
To get involved.
Wow.
To go out there. Liam, you're going to want to listen. You're going to want to pay attention here.
Yeah.
jasper.travel/escape. jasper.travel/escape.
There you go.
Do you guys ski or snowboard?
Ski.
I snowboard.
I don't really do either, but last time I was out, I snowboarded sort of. I mean, I was on
Isn't
it.
Isn't that harder?
I the only time I've ever skied, I think, was like fucking 10. To be fair, I think I'd probably be better with skis because I can skate.
It's like skating.
I would probably be better on a snowboard than...
But a snowboard is...
I haven't gone skiing different. Since I'm probably 8.
Yeah, but you were like a prodigy snowboarder, so that makes sense.
Well, I mean, no, but I can do it effectively. Yes.
Will you be taking the ramp?
I would take a ramp, sure.
No, at the thing in December.
Oh, that thing? Come on.
The ramp?
Yeah, the bigger competition.
Oh, right.
That thing would probably make me poo myself.
Softer landing.
Yeah, just a little now.
Just a little nugget. Just
you know
as
what?
I'm standing up top. If you haven't seen the ramp, Tyler posted them on the Real Life socials.
Spooky.
The ramp starts at the top of Commonwealth.
Yes.
I'm standing up there. A little nugget rolls down the leg.
That's gross.
Yep.
You remember when Chris, the intern, had an opportunity to go down the Red Bull crashed ice course bag milk?
And what happened, Dan? Why didn't he do it?
Tummy.
He had a tummy bug that morning.
Because he was pooing himself.
What the hell?
All right.
I'm a skier, by the way.
Oh yeah, sorry, you asked, you probably wanted us to ask you back.
All right, let's look ahead at tomorrow. Sorry, go ahead,
let's pause for an ad first.
I just did one.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need.
Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found. That project manager I could never seem to hire? And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's talk about tomorrow night's game against the New York Islanders. This is a game I think the Oilers have to win. The Islanders are a beatable team, in my opinion. Although I think with the Oilers at this point, I think Tyler said it, every team should be a beatable team, to be honest. That should be the expectation. Tomorrow, I think they need to beat the Oilers or the Islanders, but I want to start off with our boy, Jack Campbell. Poor Jack, sitting there watching the game last night, or maybe not watching. It gets a puck deflected right into his face, breaking his nose. If that is not just like the universe telling us what kind of start to the season Jack Campbell has had, I don't know what is.
Well, it's got to be rock bottom, right?
Well, that's a great way to start a story. Like
the comeback
sudden, after the broken nose, he all of a sudden goes 38 and oh, he's got like a 982 save percentage.
Yes.
Like it's just, that's how a story starts.
Leave me having a chuckle here. Poor Jack Campbell takes a puck to the face.
I just happened and I thought, of course,
like, but you can't.
There's no way he did. It looked like he even like waved to stop it and still missed it. He's just gonna make it up. I hope he's okay. He said he was fine, but man, his nose is a bit bigger than it was yesterday.
A little bit bigger. Mm-hmm. I was actually worried that I thought he took it.
You've been a fan for the Oilers a long time.
Yeah,
you know damn well what you thought first. I was like, oh no, it's like a broken eye socket. Like
I thought it hit him in the eye.
That's what they said. Like,
we're bringing in, and of course you're reading right away. Someone on Twitter is like,
the e-bug.
Out. Now we're bringing up Ollie or something like this. So I was like,
you see the e-bug getting dressed and you're like, oh no.
Yeah, he did, didn't he?
It wasn't even the e-bug that scared me. I was like, whatever, we can get through this game. It's what's happening tomorrow. Like, yeah, like Jack Campbell lost his eyeball.
Because my TD Force like was holding the towel. I'm like, oh, that hit him right in the fucking eye. Come on.
Even on the broadcast, they mentioned eye for some reason. Like, I think it hit him in the eye. They said, I was like, oh yeah, no, I've seen this story.
It's before. Almost good news it hit him in the beak, you know?
Yeah.
Like it is almost good news. That's where he took it.
The mouth could have lost some chiclets and shit. Yeah.
But
it's not the eye. This is like when Taylor Hall got his head stepped on.
Yeah.
Like it's in warm ups and it's just like nothing. Like, oh, it's just probably just like, and no, you fucking clipped him right in the head or, you know, it's, I had a lot of PTSD there yesterday.
Poor Jack Campbell,
by the way.
Do you put him in net tomorrow?
Yeah.
Is he healthy enough?
Good question. Can he breathe?
Like, well, he didn't seem to have any black eyes today, so I don't think they're swelling at all. So,
but like maybe that again goes to the turnaround, the comeback. Once those things get real dark and he's looking at you, you're like, oh, what the fuck? What's going on with this guy? He's scary.
I'm telling you, this is the beginning of a story.
Dan, you playing Campbell tomorrow? If he's able.
That's the scary part for me is the broken nose. I've always heard about the don't blow your nose because that's the instinct that you have instantaneously is to try and blow out the blockage or whatever. And so that's why he didn't get the bruising around his eyes. Have you ever heard that before, Tyler?
So Dan, for those at home, can only see me on the Zoom. Yes. He's only seeing my camera. Dan, everyone's making the same facial expression I am.
you've never heard of that before when you get a broken nose that like the first thing you want to do is like it feels like your nose is plugged. And so you want to blow out. And then that's when you get the bruising under your eyes and into your
really
into your
what are you blowing out at that point?
Cartilage.
Anyways, so yeah, I would just be worried that Campbell's like that there's going to be some kind of an issue that happens there. I wonder if we see an e-bug on the bench for tomorrow's game.
No, you'd have enough time to get a goalie.
Yeah, they would have called someone up if Campbell
was ready. Yeah.
So Dan,
and he's practicing today. He was in the starter's net today, I believe, this morning.
Further your point, I found this is from the UFC.
Yes.
Why you should not blow your nose after a fight or having your nose broken. Unfortunately, it increases the venous blood pressure by blowing one's nose after a soft tissue surrounding the eye has been damaged, which causes rapid loss of blood from the leaky veins and profound swelling, which can result in your eyes swelling shut.
That's awesome. Wow.
I watched that happen to a guy in front of me one time after a fight. So yeah, it's not pleasant.
So there you go.
I bet you it'd look kind of cool.
Dana White teaching us things today.
Thanks, Dana.
Yep, shout out Dana White. Ends the episode.
What do you expect from Jack Campbell tomorrow, provided he is able to, he doesn't blow his nose between now and tomorrow? What is a reasonable start for Campbell tomorrow against the Islanders?
I have no idea.
I think
that's a terrible answer for the show, but
the exact same expectations you had at the beginning of the season.
I guess stop the puck as many times as you can. And hopefully only allow 2 goals or less. And the others win.
Motivational speaker, Liam.
Tyler, what's a reasonable start for Campbell tomorrow? If he does get the start.
Just be above 900, my boy. Just
that is a low bar.
90% of the shots you face and then we'll be cool.
I was talking to this goalie guy that I know. And
was it Grant
hockey Fier? Or soccer?
Hockey.
Okay.
And he was like, I was talking about it and I was asking him like what he thought of Campbell. And he's just like, oh, he's just kind of having a weird season, whatever. And then he said, and I agree, he's like, they're just going to literally throw the numbers out. Like whatever Jack Campbell's on numbers are right now, like they just should be wiped from existence. Because after the math Tyler did, he's like, you're never going to get respectable numbers unless you have an absolute insane rest of the season. So you just got to kind of like clean slate for Campbell. Like,
so we're looking at wins and losses now for him.
No, I'm looking at like, what did he do last game? Oh, he got a 9-10. What did he do before that? Oh, he got another 9-10. Like, it should be like a game by game.
Season starts now.
Yes. Season starts now with a broken beak.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. New era.
Yep.
Just allow 3 goals or less. That's all I ask.
Yeah. I think that is, you know what I'm saying is Dan, actually 3 goals or less.
I'm going to say 2.
Yeah, but if they win 4-3 and he faces 36 shots, you'll be happy with it.
Okay. Yeah,
the Islanders have won more games 4-3 than any other score this year.
The puck line.
Do you know what? I don't just don't allow crap
and don't suck.
I think that's a good. Yeah, don't suck. Like when we play Tampa Bay, and what was that? It was 3-2 we won, right? Or 4-2 was it?
3-2.
Okay, the 2 goals he allowed. Like the second one wasn't great, but also like, I thought he had a good game. And then there was also I feel like there was a game before he lost. But also wasn't his fault. Maybe it was Vancouver. Maybe I'm going way back. What do you have?
You want Sour Patch Kids?
Yeah, I see him having a little mange over there.
I'll have one. Can you throw me one?
He's having a little mange over there. And I did not sure.
That's why he's been so quiet over here.
He's staring at me while he's enjoying the Sour Patch Kids that he knows I want.
All you wanted was a couple on the table. He's like, no, you'll be too distracted.
Next thing you know, he's up to his elbow. Was infinitely more distracted.
I can't remember. Jack Campbell, you're all right, kid.
You know what would be great? It'd be great if the Oilers could, they know Campbell's struggling.
Mm-hmm.
Give him a little run support. You know, one of those games where it's like, no matter what happens in net, we got you because we put up a fucking touchdown.
I like that idea, but I want to see them put up that touchdown in their own zone where they don't give up any good opportunities where they kind of, they make everything.
They gotta be dogs.
Yeah. Keep everything on the fucking outside. I want to see them come in their own zone and just handle that fucking thing for them. Say, you know what? Here's a couple fucking floaters. Here's 20 shots in the game. 1 goal. Let's go on. Even if it's fucking 2-1, I don't care. They need to show up for him in his own zone.
We will get some new line combos tomorrow against the Islanders. Let me walk through the forward group for you boys and let me know what you think. Fogle, McDavid, Hyman. There is your first line. Nuge, Draisaitl, Puljujarvi. Janmark moved back down to the third line with McLeod and Costin. Holloway, Malone, Ryan round up the top 12. Liam?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess they got to shake things up a little bit. What was the top line again?
Fogle, McDavid, Hyman.
It's probably the right thing to do.
I think McDavid and Hyman should be staple to each other.
Yeah, and Tyler brought that point the other day where you need to kind of play in duos a little bit, and Hyman and McDavid are one for me, and Nugent Draisaitl are the other right now. And yeah, I like those. I guess Janmark wasn't great.
I guess yesterday. Jay's not buying that jersey, hey, Tyler? Yeah.
I like the addition of Fogle right now to that those two guys. I think Fogle's kind of like that dog on the bone out there right now. He's playing pretty well. Maybe not putting up the points you want to see, but in terms of players on this roster, who you can put with those guys, I think I like that addition.
Hey, in the last 5 games, McLovin's contributing just as well as anybody could hope for a depth score.
Yeah.
Dan, what about the new lines for you?
I selfishly would have liked to have seen a little bit more of Janmark up there before we made a switch again, but if all we can ask for is duos the whole way for the rest of the season, then I'd be happy with the duos that we have with McDavid and Hyman and then Draisaitl and Yessa. Is that, no, not Yessa.
Nuge, Draisaitl, Yessa.
I would have kept McLeod and Puljujarvi as a duo too. I would have been like, hey, these are three duos. We're running with them.
Do you think it has anything to do with watching Leon and Puljujarvi maybe just have that little connection off the, you know, after practice or whatever the other game. And then he had a decent game yesterday. He was out there hitting.
They look good last night.
If he goes to the fucking front of the net like he was yesterday, I think that's where he's most effective right now.
Moving he just that needs. Booty.
Yeah. Like,
exactly.
Dude, guys come up to hit him and they end up falling.
You can't move him. Just needs like, I would love to see him get a little of Zach Hyman spirit in him when he's in front of the net. Cause like Zach Hyman's a smaller guy. You're not moving him either. And he's going to get his stick on the puck and he's probably going to steal it somehow.
So if this line plays together tomorrow and we are pretty sure that Puljujarvi is going to be in front of that the whole damn time. I'm fairly certain they're going to have some offensive opportunities. Everybody should be looking at the over shot attempts for both Nuge and Draisaitl tomorrow. Those guys are going to be shooting all day long if you've got the big fella in front.
Oh, well, you have to.
Right?
Have to. Because like last night, he didn't get a point on it, but he's the reason Leon Draisaitl's goal went in.
Oh, yeah.
He was causing mayhem in front of the net. He
literally moved a man.
Yeah.
Of his bum.
Yeah. So I like a lot of what Yes is doing right now, but man, he's one of those guys. He's like Fogel.
Find the fucking score sheet.
Like Fogel, he needs something good to happen. Like, look at Warren Fogel. He's got three goals in his last, what, five or six?
And the first one was a fucking shorthanded from outside the, from just inside the blue line.
Mm-hmm. I never really realized how well he can shoot the puck.
Puljujarvi?
Fogel.
Oh, Fogel. Like,
he can rip it pretty well from most places in the offensive zone. Like he's a threatening shot, which could make him valuable in the top six if he continues with his confidence. I like Fogel.
You were talking about some shot props I'm looking at for our friends at Betway, just at my bets from last night. Shot props are hurting me these days.
I'm telling you, man, look at those two for tomorrow.
Shot props are hurting me. And I don't like it. I do like Betway, but I do not like losing my bets. You know? Mm-hmm. Hurt sometimes, Liam. Hurt sometimes. Looking ahead at tomorrow, quick score prediction. Nation Dan, you're up first.
I will say, because it's worked for me the last few times, I'm going to say the Islanders win 4-2.
Yep.
Usually I'm wrong.
I'll say the Oilers win 4-1.
Rick?
It's the type of season right now. Can't keep them down to one. It's probably going to be two, but we're going to pop five. So 5-2 Edmonton.
4-2.
3-2.
Remember that time James Neal scored a shitload of goals against the Islanders? That's what I think of when I think of that. I guess they're in a new building now, but that rink in New York.
Draisaitl and McDavid connecting in overtime in both New York or on the island and then right in New Jersey right afterwards as well.
I want to add an extra layer to our score predictions because we do this every game.
LaMayo?
A LaMayo?
A little mayo.
I like Lil Mayo. Well,
go ahead.
I like Lil Mayo the rapper. What do you think about that, Liam? You didn't see that shit coming. He's an alien.
Never heard of it.
Mm-hmm. Be gone, thoughts. Go away. I'm a man of God.
She was Miracle Whip.
I am stunned.
Not so obvious game day prediction for tomorrow, Tyler, as you throw me a Sour Patch Kid.
I'm going to finish this bag of Sour Patch Kids. Awful throw.
But it's on the table here. I think it's in the headphones.
All right.
We're channeling the GDB here. Your not so obvious game day prediction. I will start. I'll inspire you. Kaleem Costin with his first tomorrow.
The Oilers get multiple goals with both McDavid and Draisaitl off the ice.
I like that. Jack Campbell shutout.
Oh, loud. Dan?
I'm going to say that Matt Barzal gets a goal and an assist.
What is this, Islanders Nation? Yeah, who invited this
guy? I told you, I have to go with the. When I go with the other team, we win. So I'm just going to keep trying to stick to it.
Liam, what do you got for tomorrow?
I will go Puljujarvi has 2 points.
Hey. Ooh, I like that. I like that. Again, you could have just poured me a little pile on the table, but you refused. All right.
Oh, that one was blue raspberry.
Do you know how they color the blue ones, Tyler?
Pardon?
You know how they color the blue ones of those Sour Patch Kids?
They're good. They're blue raspberry, aren't they?
They use beaver butt.
Shut up.
For our friends at Twig and Berries.
Look it up.
Twigandberries.ca. Go use the promo code NATION15. You'll get a little discount on your order if you're out in St. Albert. Go try on some undies.
And then come over for dinner after.
Tyler will cook you dinner. He might even cook you some frozen vegetables and garlic and butter.
If you're lucky.
We did a B-cast the other day, and Tyler was like really distracted during the B-cast, and then eventually he's just like, see what I'm doing? And he was so excited because he had some fresh frozen veg in that frying pan.
What game was this? Because I feel like at the end of the games, he's like usually halfway to bed. So what day were you still cooking?
You were at the
and
game.
If it was a 2 p.m. game, I'm really worried about why you were cooking dinner.
Yeah, it was a loss like to L.A.
What
time was that game at?
That was an 8 o'clock start. Game.
Oh, I'm proud of you.
I went to the game. Late. Had a couple beers, came home.
Oh, so it was drunken. It was drunken frozen vegetables.
About halfway there.
I get it.
I love it. Then you look like you got something to say.
No, I said enough.
Are you going to go to twigandberries.ca and use the promo code NATION15?
Like I do after every show.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Liam rolls through a fresh pair of undies every show.
Doesn't wear the same ones twice.
Timberlake of undies.
365 pairs.
Word association?
I just want to, real quick before we get to word association, Frank Saravalli over at dailyfaceoff.com released his first trade targets list of the season. Go check that out. See who's on the block. So Coombsy, our boy Cam,
we should post it right here.
Kind of aggregated a little bit. Some of the names that may interest the Oilers, even though it may be a little bit unlikely, like a Bo Horvat. Wouldn't he just absolutely solve some of the forward issues?
No, I think you're going to see a JT Miller type of out of him.
Next up, Jacob Chychrun. We've been talking about him for months.
That's Campbell too, with his nose. Convenient.
This is a podcast. People won't know what we're talking about.
Oh. So there's Frank's article. He has got Bo Horvat first on the list. Patrick Kane, you know that helps. Jonathan Tate. Okay, you get Tyler's choice. You can have one of them, Kane or Taves.
Am I considering the acquisition cost?
Yes.
Taves.
Rick?
Yeah, I think I'm going Taves too.
They're both 34?
Yep. They're drafted a year apart.
Oh, they have it.
Kane. I take the defenseman.
Dan's going defense. So you got Jacob Chychrun fourth up on the list. He's only played once so far this year, I see.
Yep.
What else you got? Keep scrolling down, Tyler. John Klingberg. They
had rumored interest in him in the summer, though, right? So I think that's why it's worth keeping an eye on him. But he's a righty.
So then you would have, like, just walk through it. You would have Barry Bouchard, Klingberg.
One of them would have to play their offside.
One of them has to go because that contract's big.
Yeah, unless you're flipping Barry.
And you're still trying to find $3 million extra.
Well, the Ducks will probably keep half.
Timo Meier, I'd love it. Not happening.
Yeah, and he's got a $10 million QO coming in the summer.
Holy Anthony Duclair, you mentioned him earlier.
So Frank went into a little bit more detail here. So Anthony Duclair scored 30 goals last season and in 31 goals in 74 games. He's hurt, blew out his ACL over the summer.
Yeah.
He's close to returning already. He's making $3 million. The Panthers cannot afford to activate him. But if he's healthy, they have to activate him, which means they need to trade someone or trade Duclair before they can bring him back. And the names Frank listed were Reinhart, Bennett, and Duclair. If you can make the money work, which would probably mean you have to trade one of the $3 million guys somewhere, I would love Sam Bennett or Anthony Duclair on this.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like Bennett would be more of the defense.
Can you imagine, too, just how annoying it would be for Flames fans?
It'd be fun to piss people off.
It would be so fun.
And this might be a spot where Florida has to give someone up for pennies on the dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Like they might just be forced. If they get to the point where Duclair's like, I'm healthy, I'm ready to play. They might have to just go, okay, call every team around the league and be like, who wants him?
Does Duclair have a bit of an edge to his game or is that, am I thinking of someone else?
There's points where he'll be, he needs to stay motivated.
So no.
When he's motivated, he does.
We need someone who's self-motivated.
But if they sit there and they go, Sam Bennett's on the block.
Then I'd be more prone to look at Sam. I don't even think I'd look at Duclair to tell you the truth.
I have a suggestion.
Yes, sir.
What if we were able to get Duclair?
Yes.
Do you remember you used to have that really good chemistry with Max Domi?
You want them both.
Why not?
That probably would be too much money.
Yeah, so they both.
What is a salary cap?
Yeah.
Never heard of it. Max Domi makes $3 million.
Yeah.
Maybe you get half, so that's 1.5. So you have $4.5 million you have to move out. I don't know. It doesn't seem I don't think it would ever happen. Just looking at Ken Holland's history, I don't think he's going to go after any of the big guys.
I don't think he's going after anybody at all.
I think he's going to be right horned up for Jonathan Toews. That feels like such a Kenny Holland. Yeah,
that like, does feel like a Kenny Holland.
Time he goes all in, it's for the guy he put on all those Olympic teams. That's a Kenny Holland move.
Yep. He knows what he can do. He'll even talk about him at international tournaments. Dude,
I promise you, some of those guys would appreciate having a guy like him in the room.
I think probably, they would too. Sure.
I think that's the kind of move, like, you can talk about, like, okay, if you were to go get, like, a Bo Horvat, like, I think the guys in the room would be like, oh, yeah, like, good player. But, like, I feel like Jonathan Toews, is if you want to get your room amped up, even though he may not be.
He's got the rings.
He's got the rings, he's and got he's got story. That clout. He's got
whether he like it or not, he's got a resume.
NHL Top 100, Jonathan Toews.
Yeah. Oilers would put up a banner.
They could.
Just for bringing him in?
Mm-hmm.
Then Jonathan Toews just walks into the room wearing all his cup rings and his gold medals from the Olympics.
Yeah, but I want to see him walking in like, who was on the plane there last? Was it Wendt? No, it wasn't Wendt. It was Kirk Cousins. I want to see him walk in like that.
Shirtless.
Like, yeah, chest hair out, all these gold chains and stuff.
I want to see him walking in your Oilers Crocs. That's what I want to see him walking
I will definitely give him to him.
Vladislav Gavrikov?
I don't know anything about him.
Yeah, who is this guy?
Defense first defenseman. Left shot, 27 years old. Has actually scored twice in 18 games this year.
We do need a guy who just all you do is keep pucks out.
Frank says, what does the package look like? The Blue Jackets received first and third round picks for David Savard in 2021. Oof. Gavrikov is probably a better player and definitely younger. I think he costs you a second rounder.
How much?
Sending UFA 2.8 million.
I think he's Kulak 2.0.
What did they paid Lagesson and
a second and another pick,
and then you re-signed him.
I'd be okay with that, but then you're looking at there's some guys that are gone. Then like the only lefty you keep then that you keep Nemo, but then Ryan Murray's got to go.
Would you give up for Gavrikov, who again good defensive defenseman has proven it at the NHL level? Granted, hasn't played a lot of big games for Columbus. Would you do the second round pick in Nima Linen for him?
I was just thinking that Finnish guy going to the Finnish GM.
And doing this with
Nima Linen, if you believe in Broberg, Nima Linen's a spare part.
I don't think he is.
He gives
a different flavor of defense than anybody.
I think in the long run they'd like to have both of them in the lineup.
But Kulak and Nurse are signed long term.
But Kulak's not certainly certain. What, 4 years?
It's a long time.
But you look at like moving a guy like that in year four. Maybe year three, if Broberg and Nemo are pushing him down.
But I'm saying by next year, you can't have Broberg and Nemo Linen in the minors. You got to have them up.
Do you not think Nemo Linen is replaceable?
I think he is.
I think he is.
I think people like him because he hits hard. But other than that, he's a 6'7" D man. And I wonder about his upside.
I think people like him because he gives Edmonton something that we don't have right now.
Yeah. 100%.
Does he? When was the last time he really cleaned somebody out?
Last night.
Did he?
He dropped one on the blue line. Yeah. And then he fired another. Right. He stopped another dude in his tracks in the fucking corner on the right.
Okay, we'll cut that part. I don't know. I'm not like, I like Nima Linen. I don't think he's a guy like, oh, we got to keep him. Like, if something comes up where you can improve this defense and Nima Linen's a casualty.
He's not untouchable, but no. I'm not out there shopping him either.
But you also have that. I know he doesn't have any NHL experience.
Another tour duty for Andreas Athanasiou?
What about that Desharnais? That's his name, right?
Vinny Desharnais.
He's like 6'7".
Oh, yeah, I thought we were bringing back Lil D.
He's down with an injury again. He's fucked up his hand again.
Okay.
But I'm saying, right? Like,
he's a righty.
The left side of your blue line.
I don't have any untouchables on defense.
No, I probably don't either.
Not now. I think probably in June, Broberg was close to, but I don't think Broberg's that
What I'm saying is like, looking ahead, Nurse and Kulak are here for the window, right? If you think your window's the next 3-4 years to really give her and try to give McDavid and Drysdale everything they can while their contracts are still on and you have decent deals, Kulak and Nurse are going to be here for that whole time.
We're talking.
You're looking at AHL with probably already a player in mind to take over for Kulak.
And that guy, but again, by that point, it should be Broberg. No. You don't need both Broberg and Nima Linen in your organization.
I'd love a guy right now that could push Kulak down one.
Yeah, me too.
Maybe that's Vlad Gavrikov.
Yeah, but I think it might
never heard about him until just now.
I think it might be better to push Bouchard down one and give that better defensive partner to Kulak. And I know that makes that may not even work, actually, because that sets you up with a weird fucking third pairing.
Kulak was the Barry Whisperer in the playoffs last year.
I was going to say, maybe that's the recipe for success.
Yeah, maybe.
What do you guys make of We're talking about Evan Bouchard. What do you make of Evan Bouchard's season so far? Again, before we start, this is a player with 121 NHL games on his.
No one's fucking career goes in a straight line upwards.
Nope.
Ups and downs.
This is his second NHL season.
I'm not giving up on him yet.
Me neither. But what I would like is a scenario. Yep. I would like a scenario where he's on the third pairing playing power play.
See, I think they came in this year and they said, hey, listen, I think he's good for two. And it's just not quite there yet. There's some of the, we came in this year, had a couple of our younger players penciled in for certain areas with a certain amount of growth. And I don't think we've seen that quite yet.
I think the Oilers did a, it's easy to say now, but they did a bad job in the off season of sheltering those second year guys.
Mm-hmm. I think we just all the younger.
Yeah. We have too high of expectations of Puljujärvi's going to take a jump, Bouchard, McLeod, and really like Skinner too, I suppose. And really, Skinner's the only one that's taken like a big stride and been like, yeah, this guy is like,
I think
looks like an established NHLer, which I don't
think
mean
parts
quite
of
like
Bouchard's
that,
game's actually gone backwards a little bit.
I think he takes
which is fine.
Too long
I mean, like I said,
stuff.
It goes ups and downs, right?
I think his patience might be his biggest weakness.
Yeah. I think
it
he's another
absolutely insane. And he's at both ends of the ice. Sometimes he'll like mess up the puck because he's just like looking down at it and he's like, oh, I got some pressure. And then it's like something just shitty happens. Or he hits a guy 200 feet down the ice with take the tape pass. It's like so so frustrating. And then in the offensive zone, we start calling him the shin pad assassin because he takes so long to get the puck off his stick.
Even when it comes off, like everything's being blocked right now. It makes no sense.
Don't you see a guy who's just, he's gripping the stick right now?
Yep.
Yeah.
He needs one desperately.
I also think the whole block shot thing is getting blown just a wee bit out of proportion.
Tell me about that.
So I looked into the numbers. This was before the New Jersey game. So there were 145 defensemen. I think we talked about this before too. I don't know about on this show, but 145 defensemen at that point, when I looked into it, who had played at least 205 on 5 minutes. Bouchard shots on net per 60 minutes was eighth amongst 145. And I looked and calculated the blocked shots per 60 between him and those other high-end D-men, guys like Brent Burns and
Eric
Carlson.
Window, sorry, how long's the window? What kind of time period are we talking?
Just the season, start of the season until after the LA game.
Okay.
So we're not including Vegas and New Jersey, yeah. I guess, but that's just the numbers I have up here. His blocked shots per 60 was less than Burns. I think it was less than Carlson's. Of those top eight, it was less than like some of those guys.
I bet you his is up significant in like the last 5 or 6 games.
Probably.
And that's why it feels so fresh to us right now.
But the point is he's still getting shots through on the year as a whole at a very elite level. Like him in the offensive zone, I'm not actually worried about like the block shots taken up.
He'll figure out how to step to the side.
He'll figure it out. I'm more concerned about him getting beat wide on the rush as much as he is and him looking lost in the D zone as much as he is. That's what's actually concerning for me with Bouchard.
And I think that's where he needs that Duncan Keith, that type of veteran guy who's been around and knows how to fucking take care of a young kid like that.
Yeah, 100%.
And I know it frustrates a lot of people.
It's like, that is not Ryan Murray.
No. Ryan Murray's got to try and do his best to keep his own ears out of above water.
Yes.
He's
great
not
tan.
He's out there fucking swimming with somebody else.
It's almost a shame Cody Ceci doesn't shoot left.
Yes.
Have we tried that? Burner.
Yeah, I was going to say, what was he doing in the summer? Uh-huh. Why wasn't he working on this?
Yeah, road like figure stick. It out. Figure it out. You don't see that, you know, ambidextrous defenseman.
Maybe that's what we need.
Dude, we played somebody a couple games ago, and I don't know what it was, but he ended up flipping a stick for the fucking faceoff.
Really?
Yeah, it was like a left-handed shot who flipped it righty, or vice versa. I can't remember. And I was like, wait a second, did I just see that? And then you slow it down, and you can even swap it back afterwards.
What do you mean he swapped it?
So instead of shooting like you normally left-handed, so I'd be taking the face-off backhand, on the backhand, he swaps it. So he's holding, instead of holding it like a righty, he's got two hands like this, so he can just pull it back with the curve.
Sick.
Oh, interesting.
That's nasty.
Mm-hmm. It was very creative.
What about that pitcher for the Blue Jays? What was his name?
Pat Van Dyke.
Oh, that's all I could think of when I thought of Cody Ceci switching sticks. Drives by the bench, like takes one shot, goes on the right for a face-off, goes down the ice, grabs a stick on the way by, gets a lefty. That's how he shoots it.
Nobody's doing that.
I'm telling you, it could be an advantage.
Could be something.
Could be a disadvantage.
You know? Hey, you're the head scout here. Maybe you start teaching the kids that this is a thing they need to learn.
Exactly.
You know?
Look out, world.
Right? Experience a world-class mashup of snowboarding and style right here in Edmonton at Commonwealth Stadium. A heightened fan experience grants you front row seats to watch the best snowboarders on earth go head-to-head in the largest stadium big air contest Canada has ever seen. Of course, I am talking about the FIS Snowboard Big Air World Cup presented by Toyota and Explore Edmonton. Tickets are available at Ticketmaster right now. Tyler?
Mm-hmm.
It is time for your favorite segment.
Word association.
It's quite the applause.
Yeah, I thought that was. Yeah.
I felt like you deserved it.
All right, I got three of them.
Liam's getting resituated over here.
Yeah, Liam's ready.
This is his thinking pose.
Mm-hmm. I'll be honest, these aren't that good. Our order today, we will go. Liam, bagged milk, Dan, Rick. Liam, bagged milk, Dan, Rick.
Gotcha.
Okay. And then me. The first one, the Connor McDavid OT winner against the Golden Knights.
Great.
Sexy.
Top.
Repeat.
I realized it was one word.
Vintage.
We the best.
Indeed. Ryan Nugent Hopkins, red hot start to the year.
Hot.
Feeling hot.
I'm going to say erection.
Convenient.
Sustainable.
Predictable.
Oh, I feel like he's probably pumping his own tire right now.
Mm-hmm. You know me. Jack Campbell getting the start tomorrow.
Good.
Deserved.
Knows.
Correct.
Nervous.
And I say deserved because, like, he's got to get in there at some point.
Yeah.
You know, like,
hold this guy out.
He's out a bunch of days now. He's almost at like 14.
Perhaps a rehab stint. Isn't that what they call it in baseball?
Like what they did to Shane Wright?
What did they do to Shane Wright?
They just healthy scratched him for 5 games because they figured out there's a loophole in the CBA that says if you healthy scratch someone for 5 games, they're eligible for a conditioning stint.
What? That's
only take 2 weeks.
Just
right?
Send him back.
So their plan is they waited, did all this fuckery.
What?
So that they could healthy scratch him for 5 games perfectly leading up to this point. So that his 2-week conditioning stint perfectly rolls into the World Juniors and they don't have to make a decision until January.
What? That is brutal.
If we did that here, we'll be lord with the fucking Twitter world, be crushing Ken Holland.
So he's
here. Yeah. And the league would change the rule.
So they can do that rehab camp whenever they want.
I think it's only once.
No, but it can start whenever.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you don't want to like healthy scratching for too many.
No, I'm with you, but it's just like weird. I just don't get it.
What they need to do is they need to put in like a one exception to the whole CHL NHL thing where like every team's allowed to have one player or make it like a first round pick rule. Like if you're a first round pick, you're eligible for the AHL. It's ridiculous.
Well, didn't they just change something where 19-year-olds could now play in the American League after COVID?
No, it's been a while.
I thought there was maybe
it's always been an NHL CHL thing.
Maybe it was just a thing when players were playing in the American League because of COVID and they just allowed those players to keep playing.
We should
maybe
have.
That's what I was thinking.
The AHL team should have one underage player.
I know hindsight is 2020, but we should have used COVID's year as a way to bump up the draft age and eliminate any issues from COVID and players not being able to get their profile during COVID.
Bump up a draft age?
Yeah. Make it so that you can't draft kids until they're 19.
So Connor McDavid would have to play one more year in the juniors?
I think you probably have to have like exceptional circumstances.
Exceptional status, perhaps.
I don't think we see that big of a deal anyways. I don't think there's...
The one way I like doing it is you got to be 19 to be drafted in the second round or later. I think that one has potential.
What's wrong with 18?
I don't know. People say that you don't have a good enough read on the prospect. Like a sport like football, you don't draft them.
Yeah, because
they're
like
still busting football, to be fair. So
they're in their early 20s or whatever, right? When they get drafted in football.
It's cool when they do it. It's a problem when I do it. Fuck.
Football's a little different, too. Like if you had some 18-year-olds playing football, they'd be absolutely destroyed.
Yeah.
Destroyed.
Yeah, they are very large men.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
They should change the draft rule in junior, not the NHL.
To what?
That's a good point.
Because so junior kids right now in the OHL.
I think it's just the dub.
Is it just the dub? I know in Quebec they at least do a year ahead, but in the dub they get drafted in the last year of Bantam, where in the other two leagues, at least one of them you get drafted in your first year of U18.
When you're 16 instead of 15.
Yeah, and it makes a massive difference because you can't even play a full season when you're coming out of U15. So Connor Bedard, for example, got exceptional status, but if he didn't, he would just have to play another year of midget AAA hockey or U18 AAA hockey. Where in Ontario or Quebec, whichever one it is, maybe both, they can just go right into it. Just makes sense. Like, why would you want to pick and then not be able to play him? You should have the option of doing what you want with him.
Yes.
Yeah. Agreed. For your property. Gosh.
Yes. Before we wrap up the episode, 9,281. Tyler, I just wanted to touch really quickly on the Tatar goal from last night. You didn't think it was...
Listen, I understand it's a good goal. I know there were no rules that were broken. Just feels like there were.
I agree, but there, yeah, no, like, there's nothing wrong with feeling that. It's
it
dirty.
Was weird.
Like, how the fuck? Why? Come on. Like, we can barely pick up a fucking pass, and this guy can use his right hand, knock the puck down his left side, and whack it in with one fucking hand. Like, how the
like
fuck?
Like, he's hitting
work?
A ground ball to a peewee baseball team, like, lobs it up and knocks it himself.
Yeah. Now, to be fair, I guess a lot of people do the exact same thing when Connor does some sort of fucking stupid thing. Like, how do you score when he's, like, dribbling the puck on his stick for 45 minutes?
People would have called it a travel or something.
Yeah. Well, that's what I thought. Like,
I know
if Connor did that or Leon did, we'd be like, whoa, did you see that? You just did. My God.
My thing is, this something that could be exploited? Can you start giving alley-oops? You're in on a 2-on-1 defenseman.
I'd
lays
love
down,
to see it.
Just lob it up to the guy's hands and he'll just tee himself up.
I'd love to see it. Like, if Connor's on the left side on the power play, he skies one, right? 20 feet in the air over the pile, and Leon just smashes it home.
After catching it and teeing it up himself.
He chokes down real low on his stick, so he's just using that fat blade.
How protecting
sick would
the plate.
That be? You just park Drysdale back door, and you lob one in there, and he's choked up. And
take that, Trevor Zegras.
Yeah.
That's way too high to be over the...
Anyways, I just watched that Tatar goal. I was like, oh, that shouldn't count. And then I was like, oh, well...
You don't want it to.
Well, like I guess he didn't break any rules. Like, I feel like gloving the puck down, it should have to touch the ice or something. I don't know. It was weird to me.
The glove rule is weird. Do you remember when we played Calgary and Zadorov literally just picked up the puck and threw it out of the zone?
He got a penalty.
No, he didn't.
Didn't he?
He didn't get called on that. Like,
they do miss a lot of these. I've seen like in the last couple games where they've kind of done the under over.
But even the Tatar one was almost like he caught it. And had to lob it to himself. Like, that's not just batting it down. That is like catching it and putting it back in the air.
That's what I was just thinking. Is like, you can't really make that what he did. I've watched this like 20 times in a row since he's been talking, but you can't really just not grab the puck and do that.
Like, that's clear. He grabbed the puck to lob it to himself.
I think you probably get more leeway if there's nobody around you. You're not avoiding anybody.
See, and to me, like, I know this goal came against the Oilers and it hurts, but like when I saw that at real time and the execution level on fast, it's like, whoa.
That's why I'm not overly fucking bummed out about the game. There's the stupid fucking Skinner flub. And then there's this. This happens once in 1,000. Like, whatever. We get a lot of Connor goals and Leon fucking goals. So y'all can have that one.
All right.
Do you remember when that Montreal fan was like Thomas Tatar?
Oh, Domi does it really well, and so does Mark Wahlberg.
Mark Wahlberg. That is not the name I was expecting to come out of your mouth. Thomas.
For our friends at DoorDash, Oodle Noodle, Tourism Jasper, Twig and Berries in Canada, Snowboard, at Oilers Nation Radio's in the books, hit us up. There's a couple things I want to know. What's the Oilers' biggest need right now? ON Radio Podcast. So I also want to know, for Tyler, what did you think of the Thomas Tatar goal from last night? With that, we're going to wrap it up. Have the great rest of the week, everybody.
Shout out Josh T. Park.
Thanks for listening to Oilers Nation Radio, delivered by DoorDash. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button and give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.